Lord God, we thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to meet in this place, to meet around your word, to think about you, Lord Jesus, and to openly acknowledge that we live for you. And as we thank you for that incredible privilege, we humbly beg you to have mercy again on Stephen, on Femi, who back in Nigeria, particularly in the north, will be denied that freedom, whose lives are sought because they confess your name. So we pray that you would surround them with your love. May they be aware of your peace and presence with them. Go before them. If it's possible, may there be an appeal. Lord God, and we appeal to you, King of the universe, to have mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps such news puts a solemnity on our meeting and our freedom and our opportunity. For myself, I'm all but irrelevant, for Rob and Tom and the hymns that you've chosen have already preached all I have to do, so I might as well leave, really. But thank you for your choices. Thank you for your words. I did want to ask the question, what kind of man is this? They've given away the secret already because I just wanted to ask the question and not tell you who asked it first. But that's okay. What kind of person is this? Of the Lord Jesus? It was asked first by the disciples. But if you ask people today around you, the people who are out there shopping, what do they think? Well, they have a Christmas card picture of the Lord Jesus. They think of, oh, the baby in the manger. Yes, I know all about him. Surrounded by angels and shepherds and wise men and maybe Father Christmas as well. Christmas card picture. What kind of man is this? Oh no, he's a moral teacher. If only we all lived by the Sermon on the Mount, this place would be a far better and happier place. Okay, is that enough? It's certainly not enough. A man who went about doing good, mighty works. Yes, that's true too, but it's not enough. Well, I think of Jesus and I'm so grateful because we've got places like this and we can have magnificent state funerals like we saw just a couple of weeks back. Great ceremony attributed to him. Yes, true, but it's not enough. What kind of man is this? Are we followers of some amazing celebrity? Do we worship a hero? What's it all about? And I want to suggest to you that last Thursday, which passed probably for most of you just like any other Thursday, except that it was better than most Thursdays, it was part of a short week. But actually last Thursday was Ascension Day. That's only a purely human arrangement. The calendar is nothing very much, but it does give us an opportunity to think just, you know, once a year. Don't do it too often. To think about who the Lord Jesus really is on this occasion, the Ascension. But each of those marks in the calendar give us an opportunity to think. Easter does, Good Friday does, Christmas does. Take the opportunity, and this one is no exception. Take the opportunity of Ascension Day and this Ascension Tide to reflect and ask that question, who is this? What manner of man is this, as the old AV would have it? What kind of man is this whose birth was announced so spectacularly? Shepherds leaving their flocks to find out what God had shown them. Wise men. Well, it caused, in fact, an international diplomatic mission, didn't it? That's what the wise men were about. They didn't come to entertain us. They didn't come so they could be on our Christmas cards. They came to seek his favor, because they recognized that their well-being, maybe their life and death, and what happened to their country, depended on securing his favor, as ours does. As ours does. What kind of man is this, who from 12 years old, we know, had one purpose, one life purpose, to be about his father's business. to do his Father's will, single eye, to the glory of his heavenly Father. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this who astonished his hearers by his authority? Who made hardened guards step back when they came to arrest him? They couldn't arrest him. Why not? They went back and told their line managers, "Never man spake like this man. We can't arrest him. We couldn't do it." What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this who is so clearly in control? Be opened, and the man could see. Arise, take up your mat and walk. And he did. Paralyzed man. Come out of him. And Satan's minions did. Little girl, I say to you, arise. And she did. Jairus' daughter, dead. Lazarus, come forth. And the man bound in the grave clothes, who'd been there several days, came forth. What manner of man is this, so clearly in control? What kind of man is this? What manner of man is this, that even the winds and waves obey it? Obey him. That was the disciples' question. They were absolutely terrified of the storm. They were going down. They're going to sink. They'd had it. They woke him. He stood up and said the words that we sing so sweetly, "Be still and know that I am God." It wasn't sweet. And if you look at it in the Old Testament, it's a command. It's a command to the world. Be still and know that I am God. Shut up. And that's what he said to the winds and waves. Be muzzled. Shut up. He was in control. And they did. And the disciples, fearful of the storm, were now even more fearful of him. What manner of man is this that even the winds and waves obey him? And the only answer actually comes from the lips of Thomas. My Lord and my God. Who is it? Who is he? Emmanuel, God with us. The Creator God, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. Not a hero, not a hero. Much, much, much more than that. But thousands of good church folk count themselves followers of Jesus, but have far too small an understanding of who he really is. And that's why I wanted to point you to Philippians and chapter 2 and take the opportunity that last Thursday, Ascension Tide now, affords us. As we've already heard from Tom, Paul was in prison and he writes, I'm glad you picked on verse 27 because it's exactly right on, spot on, verse 27 of chapter 1. He writes to urge these Christians whom he loves in Philippi to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. And as he does so, he snatches a hymn from heaven, showing us the mind of our Lord Jesus, showing us the mind of God himself, and spells out these amazing words, "Have this mind among yourselves which you have in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God," that doesn't mean he was sort of God-shaped, it really means that he had the very nature of God, and he had the outward glory of God, "who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, clutched at, snatched at," old version, robbery. He didn't cling to it. He didn't cling to equality with God. He opened his hands, he let it go. He didn't exploit equality with God. He didn't grasp it and use it for himself. That's what he's trying to get across. He opened his hand, let go the glory of heaven, humbled himself, and became a man. taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, humbled himself, becoming obedient. Obedient to whom? To his heavenly Father, who sent him for your rescue, for mine, for Stephen's, for Famous. Sent for our rescue, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross, because that had been declared cursed. He took that curse on himself. That's total self-emptying, but it was done for a glorious purpose, for your rescue and for mine, for your forgiveness and mine. It's our only hope. Hence, we need to seek his favor, bow with the wise men to worship him. Therefore, old version, wherefore, God has highly exalted him, raised him up. Resurrection, ascension, but much more than that, glory in heaven. Raised him up, highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, ought to bow, shall bow. No option, shall bow. That's the purposes of God. No matter whose knee, the one who issued the fatwa against Stephen, every knee shall bow. That's who the Lord Jesus is, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, God, to the glory of God the Father. To him has been given all authority. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, as we say in the Creed. And the right hand of the Father is nothing to do with more comfortable seating arrangements. It's to do with power and authority. He's been given all authority. And if you read Revelation chapter 5, you'll find the coronation of the Lamb that was slain, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the song that he was worthy, for thou hast died. Sorry, thou, it's because I'm so old. And by thy blood hast ransomed men from God, for God, from every tongue and nation and tribe. God has raised him up and given him all authority. The scroll that was given to him on that occasion is the whole of human history as it is to unfold. The destiny of every man and woman and young person in this world, the destiny of this world, has been committed to this Lord Jesus Christ. Our very breath is now in his hands. Our destiny, heaven or hell, judgment, is in his hands. He is Lord. Judge, Acts 17, as Paul spoke to the men of Athens, the clever men. And God's ultimate purpose, writes Paul to the Ephesians, or writer to the Ephesians if you must insist, is to sum up everything under the Lord Jesus Christ, to put everything under his feet, his kingdom, his rule. What manner of man is this? The Lord God himself, King of kings, Lord of lords, King of the universe. Do we not need to seek his favor? Do we not need to bow the knee? Do we not need to worship him? That's who he is. Not postcard, Christmas card Christianity, but real Christianity is bowing the knee to this man, God among us. Okay, you could say, so what? That's very nice. Always nice to be in church. How does that impact me? And again, it's already been spelled out. You see, church meetings, if they're for real, are much more than Christmas card services. You know, pretty choir boys in red walking through the snow to sing carols in a candlelit church. Very pretty, but it's more than that. Solemn Mass, it's far more than that. True believers True believers are called and chosen of God, sometimes miraculously. Called and chosen of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Filled and made new creatures by God the Holy Spirit. New God's new creation. Meeting in little groups here and there. And what are they like? Well, both C.S. Lewis and Tolkien struggle to try to get this bigger vision across. We are little creatures, but we're called to be something, caught up in something much, much bigger. And Tolkien, of course, like hobbits, called out of a little world with its little passing affairs and caught up in purposes far greater. And for the Christian, the true Christian believer, caught up in the mighty purposes of God, called out to be his holy people, to declare his gospel, to declare his glory, to show it forth indeed to the heavenly beings. How? That your manner of life might be worthy of the gospel. That's lifestyle, how we go about our Monday to the next Monday living. It's our use of money before God. Do we seek everything in terms of his kingdom, in terms of integrity, trustworthiness, of living in obedience as our Lord Jesus Christ did, no matter what it cost, to our Heavenly Father, in love for him and in love for one another. Salt and light at home. Our homes a pattern of heaven. At work. Not easy for that to be a pattern of heaven, but we can be salt and light there too. At leisure. Not spouting religion. That's disgusting. But rather by trustworthiness, by care for those around us, by willingness to give a reason for the hope that's in us when asked, with courtesy and respect, living lives that bring glory to God and to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom has been committed all authority, to whom every knee shall bow. Shall we pray? What kind of man is this, that even the winds and waves obey him? Living God, for those of us who believe, who claim to know your Son as our Saviour, by your grace, enable us to bow the knee to him as Lord, Lord of all, and Lord of every department of and aspect of our own lives. Finance, leisure, lip, the whole of life. And for those of us who are church attenders, nibbling at the edges of Christian things, open our eyes to see clearly who the Lord Jesus truly is, and to see clearly what he has done for us, that we may lay everything at his feet and live as those ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, sons and daughters of the living God, citizens of heaven, new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.